Welcome, everybody. So, Mark Chmielnitsky gave me a heavy task to present a talk on pedagogic talk on a chaotic subject, and you can imagine that consequences can be unpredictable in this case, because chaos is some phenomenon which is well deterministic and is ruled by dynamical equations which are well defined, but which leads to unpredictable results. Even everything, all laws, all dynamical laws, you know, are given, for example, Newton equations which determine rather simple dynamics. And this will be the plan of my talk. So I will speak briefly about classical chaos and simple models related to classical chaos to give a simple introduction. Then I will go to questions how this chaos, classical chaos, manifests itself in quantum dynamics. This the fact that your classical dynamics is chaotic and unpredictable gives a number of consequences for quantum dynamics, and there are the new phenomena you can find in this quantum systems. And here I will consider some again simple models which we studied, like Kictor-Tata model, Rydberg atoms and cold atoms, rough billiards. And then I will go to many body systems, like question how this dynamical chaos manifest itself in a quantum system when you have many particles interacting, and there are relations to complex nuclei, atoms, quantum dots, and also quantum computers. And at the end I will speak about how quantum computers gambling chaos, how these quantum computers can attack how they can simulate the dynamics which is chaotic in quantum and in classical case. And the research is supported by European network and NSA RO contract. And the last part, so I will go on this our recent results we obtained with Bertrand Georgiou in Toulouse related to this project. So the first point, Kolmogorov complexity. In fact, this goes to theorem which was proved by Kolmogorov about 40 years ago, which claims that all numbers in the interval 0, 1 are almost all numbers, or the measure of these numbers is equal to 1 in mathematical sense, are uncomputable. So if some programmer want to write a program and to compute n digits of a typical number in the interval 0, 1, then the length of the program, the number of lines in it, will grow proportionally to n. So in fact, almost all numbers are uncomputable, and such simple numbers like pi here, e, natural logarithm, and other things we are working usually in our life are computable and of measure 0. But this complexity, which is hidden in the initial number, and in fact, since these numbers are not known, you cannot compute them, so they are unpredictable, unknown, and you can say that they are random in this sense, because nothing is known about them. In fact, these numbers, they can be important or not important. This depends on the dynamics which you study. If dynamics is integrable, like oscillator, then all this information hidden in the tail of the number will never appear in the dynamics, and you will be linked only with dynamics on the first digits, which will determine the position of your trajectory in the phase space. So this doesn't matter, this richness which is hidden in these real numbers. But if your dynamics is chaotic, you have local exponential stability of trajectory with divergence of all trajectories in the phase space, then this information hidden in the tail of number becomes very important, and it determines where will be your trajectory after 10 iterations. And that's why the dynamics of this classical chaos is unpredictable. And let me go to two examples I will discuss very briefly, because they are classical. One is Arnold CAT map and the other Chirikov standard map. What it is, the first one is this classical example from the book of Arnold and Avis of 68. This is very simple map written above with this area preserving map. You take in the plane, in the square 1, 1. You iterate, bar means the new values of variables after one iteration. And in fact, it's known that this dynamics characterized by exponential divergence of trajectories. If initial, initial distance is delta x zero, then it grows exponentially with time between two orbits with exponent h, which is in fact is a Kolmogorov-Sinai entropy. It's related to entropy production in the system per unit of time, Olyapunov exponent. And this is a pictorial image of a cat when after one iteration and after two, it's cut it on small pieces. And in fact, this chaotic dynamics cannot be simulated on nowadays computers because errors grow exponentially. And for example, for Pentium 3 with double precision, the minimal distance you can take is about 10 minus 16, and only after 68 iterations you will be out of precision of your computer. So this is example, which nevertheless the computers of course gave very nice images about classical chaos, and this was one of the important point. The arrival of modern computers, which allowed to study chaos in some detail, even if mathematically not always you can prove something. For example, for Arnold CAT map, you can prove that there is a positive Kolmogorov-Sinai entropy, which characterizes divergence of trajectory in the phase space. But there is other example. There are other examples like Chirikov standard map, it's the map which is similar, but here you have sin x with some dimensionless parameter k. And this is also area preserving map, but which contrary to the Arnold CAT map, there are very few exact mathematical results for this problem. For example, it's known that if k is very small, then this is a regime of Kolmogorov Arnold Moser theorem. So they proved that for small perturbations for such types of map, the invariant curves are still not destroyed, and you have invariant sets which are preserved by perturbation. And due to that, for example, the motion of particle, if you start here, will be bounded if our curves are not destroyed. And this is one of the examples of stability for our planetary system, where perturbations are small. But in reality, okay, theorems, they give very low bounds, which are not realistic. There is other criterion which was proposed by Chirikov, was first physical criterion for onset of chaos, like overlap of resonances in 59. And with this, you can get a better the chaos border, which gives you k order of one. And in fact, there are other methods to study how some given invariant curves are destroyed, like this golden curve is golden rotation number, and here you can find with high precision when the last curve is destroyed, and it's supposed that it's the last curve, but it's not proven. However, this shows what is the interesting point here, that you have very rich structure in the phase space. You have small islands, we go on smaller and smaller scales, and in fact, near the critical invariant curve, all this structure is self-similar and universal for any smooth maps you can imagine in the O2D Hamiltonian conservative systems. So there is some class of universality in the systems with rich dynamics, which influence your correlation. So for example, the recurrences, Poincaré recurrences in this system, which can will decay if you start in the chaotic component shown by these scattered points, will decay in some power law, and there are discussions how it goes. So it's a rather simple model, but which with very rich dynamics. If the parameter k becomes bigger than one, then you have slightly other representation of the same map, it will be useful for me when I will turn to the quantum dynamics. So again, so simply here you have some action and phase, and the product of kt is the previous parameter of k of k in the standard map. So k smaller than 1, it's a common integrability regime, but when k becomes bigger than critical value, which is about 1, then you have global chaos in system which appears, and there is positive Lyapunov exponent, which is not proven, but it comes from numerical simulations, which is positive and given approximately by this expression. Yeah? Yeah. It's in the sense integrable, common integrability that mathematicians can prove this. They will give you some value of k which will be much smaller than 1, and below this value they will give you guarantee that it's integrable. Of course from computer, that there are invariant curves which are not destroyed in this sense.
There are values of k
No, that there are invariant curves. So the KAM theorem is formulated in the following way. You say that I take a given some rotation number, which is typically rational number, which characterizes my invariant curve, and then the theorem guarantees you that this curve for sufficiently typical rational number will be not destroyed if perturbation is weak enough. But near the resonances, there will be appearance of a chaotic layer, which will be always present, but will be exponentially tiny, and this is in the sense of KAM integrability. Well, there is no proof that there is positive measure of chaos for any k. For example, this is not proven mathematically. They cannot say there is anti-integrability theorem of Fabry, which guarantees you that there are some chaotic orbits for k going to infinity, but nothing more about measure of chaos. But physically we believe that there is finite measure for any k, but it's exponentially small for k much smaller than 1, and order of 1 for k bigger than 1. And for k bigger than this critical value, there is diffusion in action with some diffusion rate, which is approximately k square, which corresponds to random phases. If you will take here theta as random phases, then it will grow like k square over 2. This multiplied by time, the second moment of your distribution, and you can describe the probability as a Fokker-Planck process. Or if you approach to a critical k value, then there is some critical phenomena which more complicated dependence on parameters. So what is about the quantum case? This was quantum studies were first done by Kazati, Chirikov, Fort Israelev in 79, and two authors of the paper are present here. So this is the same Hamiltonian in time with periodic x with period t, but you quantize, you introduce, you replace classical action n and phase theta, these conjugated variables by operator with commutation rule equal to minus h bar between n and theta. And this, then you can integrate your Hamiltonian between kicks, and this gives you this unitary evolution. First is rotation. You have no perturbation between kicks, so you simply have a rotation. And then the kick gives you a multiplication, but exponent minus ek cosine theta. These operators do not commute, so you cannot write them like a exponent of the sum. And this your quantum model, which has the following classical limit. So in some sense we can take h bar equal to 1, but then this classical limit corresponds to small k much bigger than 1, t much smaller than 1, and the product of them gives you chaos parameter, which is equal to constant independent of h bar. So what was found in the system? It was found that, in fact, quantum interference suppresses the diffusion in the chaotic regime when all invariant curves are destroyed, and the diffusion stops after some time t star, which is approximately equal to the diffusion rate measured in the number of levels per period of time, it's k square over 2, inversely proportional to h bar square. And this time scale is much larger than the other important time scale, which is Ehrenfest time scale. Suppose you will take minimal coherent wave packet in the phase plane of size of h bar, then due to exponential instability, this wave packet will start to spread and very quickly will spread over the whole cell of the phase, classical phase space, order of one. So then this Ehrenfest time is only logarithmic in your quantum number, quasi-classical quantum number, logarithm of 1 over h bar divided by Kolmogorov-Sinai entropy, and it's much smaller than the diffusive time scale, after which interference stops the diffusion. And therefore, you can also show that, in fact, this is your unitary operator. You can study eigenstates of this operator, and then you find that they're exponentially localized with localization length, which is proportional to diffusion rate. In fact, there is a close analogy between this dynamical localization and Anderson localization in quasi one-dimensional wires. The difference is that there you have a real disorder in these systems, while here the system is purely deterministic and without no disorder, but the diffusion is produced by classical chaos, and then this diffusion is localized by quantum interference in a rather similar way like it happens in Anderson localization. So let me give you few examples of numerical simulations. So let me show 1/2. So this example of the second moment growing with time on the upper slide you have a classical diffusion. This is some energy which is proportional to second moment n square, normalized to have the slope equal to 1. This is a straight line is theoretical diffusion, and this wiggly line is the result of a numerical simulation of classical Chirikov standard map with 1000 trajectory, so you see that it goes diffusive. While in quantum case, if you take like effective h bar like 1 over 20, then diffusion for quantum case excitation follows the classical diffusion, but then saturates, and this effect of localization which appears. Now we can put the following question. In fact, the map is have the property of time reversibility. If you invert time directly between kicks, then everything will return to the initial state because equations are time reversible. So we can make this test, which was done some time ago on a Russian computer BESM-6 with accuracy 10^-12, and you see that it starts to return back in the classical case, but then it continues to diffuse. The point is it starts to return during approximately 20 periods, after which the error becomes order of one, and then reversibility is destroyed and diffusion continues. Yeah?
What are you plotting?
This is the second moment of your diffusion, so it's solution like it's n square average, yeah, averaged over the 1000 trajectories. So and this is n square over 2 is the energy of your kick rotator. So it's energy, and I normalized by some coefficient to have the slope equal 1, so corresponding to the classical diffusion, theoretical value of classical diffusion. So, in fact, small errors in the computation of sign on your computer destroy time reversibility, and due to that, exponential instability destroy reversibility on your computer. If I do the same thing on the same computer for the quantum case, then everything return back with rather good precision, which shows us that quantum evolution is stable while the quantum evolution is stable while the classical is unstable. And here, maybe follow Wojciech Zurich, I will continue the tradition to cite Albert Einstein. So we can say that God doesn't play dice. So in a sense, we see that the quantum computer, quantum dynamics, well, we believe that the real world is governed by quantum dynamics. In fact, there is no local instability in quantum dynamics. This is the impression we are getting from this example, and some people like Joe Ford, even thinking that maybe we should somehow rethink about the quantum dynamics if it's not able to reproduce a classical chaos. But I will return back to this point during my talk. So, well, you may say, why to worry about this simple map? In fact, there are many other examples where such map appears and which describe real system. In fact, it describes particles trapped in open magnetic traps for plasma physics, where this example initially came from. This rather similar map describes Rydberg ionization of excited Rydberg atoms, and this localization was observed in the experiment Peter Koch from Stony Brook in 1984, and is quite good in the description given by quantum maps. So, and more recently, this system had been built experimentally with cold atoms in the group of Mark Rising, and this is example of this Kickstarter from his experiments, where you see that classical diffusion, in fact, in quantum case with cold atoms, you see the saturation of this diffusion, which is stopped, and dynamical localization sets in this experiment with cold atoms. And there are other groups now working with cold atoms in Oxford and also a group in New Zealand. And in fact, now Mark Rising, his group, they are able to put the wave packet where they want in the phase space inside integrable island or in the Hauge component, and observe many interesting phenomena like chaos-assisted tunneling and things like that. So what are other examples maybe to speak about? Is this rather, on the first glance, different system, but related to this. So rough billiards. So you take a circle, this is your integrable system, you know eigenstates in the system. Now let's, with elastic boundary condition, you know all eigenfunctions, you can make also semi-classical quantization for the system. Now, if you push out two halves of the circle, then it will become stadium billiard of Bonimovich, where it's proven that all states are chaotic, but there is other possibilities. Possibility when you deform, you stay with the circle, but you slightly deform the boundary. Some rough, but weakly roughly, deformation of the boundary with some random harmonics. And in this case, the interesting phenomenon appears. In fact, it's known that in such billiards, which are completely chaotic and ergodic, like Sinai billiard or Bonimovich billiard, there are Schneidermann theorem, which guarantees you that the average of sufficiently high eigenstates will be equal to average over the measure of your classical function which replaces your operator. So the average of quantum operator over one eigenstate will be equal to average of your classical function corresponding to operator of the energy surface. So there is this important theorem of Schneidermann proven in 1974. And I will turn back to this, how this Schneidermann ergodicity appears in this billiard. So, but the point is that systems like billiards, like Sinai billiard, in the quantum case, you can make statistics of levels, and you will find that level spacing statistics follows the results of random metric series, as it was seen by Bahigas, Giannoni, and Schmidt in 1984. But in such types of billiards, usually you have only one time scale, which is your collision time between boundaries. While in the deformed, in this rough billiard, with weak deformation of the boundary, there are two time scales. There is a collision time, but there is also a time which requires to establish ergodicity over the energy surface. Because you collide and you only slightly change your orbital momentum, so you start to diffuse in the space of orbital momentums, and then you spread diffusively over your energy surface, and this takes time which is much larger than collision time. And in fact, these collisions can be looked from inside like a scattering problem, and you can write a operator for scattering matrix, which is rather similar to the previous operator for Kick-Tartator. There is kick, which comes from collision with the boundary, and delta r is your variation of your boundary is a function of theta angle, and k is your wave, inverse wavelength. And then you have scattering phases of a circle here, mu L and mu L prime. And this is rather similar to a kick rotator, in fact, with the difference, with only difference that you have may have many harmonics in this case. And your matrix, which describes this system, in fact, becomes a band matrix with one preferential diagonal. And such types of matrices appears also in many body interacting systems. That's it's interesting. And in fact, how it happens here, it is that you may be localized on the energy surface, which is rather simple. Yeah.
Why is this taking the quantum billiard? Why are those different? Why is there confusion in quantum
billiard? Because I have a small deformation. This is weakly rough billiard, so my deformation is small. Therefore, at each collision, I change only slightly the angle. So I diffuse in momentum, but not there is no sharp change in the collision angle. So that's the reason. So maybe I will show here. In fact, you can make semi-classical quantization of a circle, and then your energy surface is this given by this line. It's radial quantum number and orbital quantum number, and you may ask how your wave function is distributed over this surface, and this is example. If deformation is small, then you see localized eigenstate, which is localized on the surface in a similar way like it was localization in the kick rotator. You increase deformation, then you have extended state over the surface, but they are still not ergodic because they have rather well-pronounced peak structure and this regime of Wigner ergodicity. And still, when you continue to increase the deformation, then you see the homogeneous distribution of the energy surface. And so, and this regime corresponds to Schneidelmann ergodicity, and it goes through intermediate regime of Wigner ergodicity, because you have, in fact, this your energy surface line in the plane of two quantum numbers. It can pass close to integers, which form your quantization. And then if you are close, you have very big peak, which appears. But if you are far, then the bright Wigner width of your energy surface is too small enough to populate levels here, and then this is interesting regime when you have extended states, but not which are not yet ergodic. Still, in this regime, you will have Wigner-Dyson statistics for energy levels. So these are a few examples from one particle chaos. I stress again that matrices, which appears like in the case of billiard, they have some preferential structure. There is some preferential basis, like of eigenstates of the circle, which are slightly perturbed by perturbation, and there are questions how to study these matrices, and similar matrices appears in many body systems. Now, let's go to many body system, and here let me start from this example. I will turn directly first to quantum computers, because quantum computer is also many body system. You have many qubits, and n will be the number of qubits. And suppose we have one qubit spacing, which will be denoted by delta, and this approximate typical value between of spacing for different qubits, which can fluctuate from one qubit to another. Suppose order of delta, zero, these fluctuations. Then and this is my closed system. I have my Hamiltonian, so all levels are there. So I will not consider external decoherence up to now. So this will be case opposite to Zurich, who like to consider decoherence coming from outside. Here I have my closed system. It's perfectly coherent, but it doesn't mean that eigenstates will be not complex. They can be simple, very close to ideal quantum computer eigenstates or to be rather far from them and will be can be ergodic. And what is the condition for this ergodicity? Induced by ergodicity which will be induced by some residual interaction between qubits. So let us make simple estimate what is the condition when we will mix levels in this closed system. First, what is the distance between levels? So I have, this is the number of, small n is number of qubits, then the total number of states in the system is 2 in power n, and all these levels are located in the band width, which is delta 0 multiplied by n. This approximate estimate for all energy band of this conservative system. Then this average distance between levels drops exponentially with the number of qubits, and it's clear that realistic situation, any, as soon as you will arrive to a few tens of qubits, any coupling between qubits will be much larger than the spacing between levels in your computer. Then physically, the question immediately appears, will this coupling, will it mix these levels or not? And surprisingly, this question was not addressed in the quantum computer community until recently, and this was our study. So we did with Bertrand Jarjot. Let's take simple example, like Shor algorithm, which requires 1,000 qubits to be more efficient than the classical computer. Let's take like an example of Kane with nuclear spins in semiconductor structures, delta zero order of 1 Kelvin. Then for 1,000 qubits, you will have spacing between levels 10 minus almost 300 Kelvin. What is the typical interaction you can get? It's well, you do simple estimate, and if J is order of delta zero at some moment, and then you change effective mass by introducing local electric field, then suppose your mass changed 2 times, then the drop overlap of between states drops exponentially, and you will get a residual interaction order of 10 minus Kelvin, minus 5 Kelvin, which is much bigger than the spacing between levels in your system. So the question is, will this residual interaction mix the levels? So what will be the real eigenstates of quantum computer? Will be they ergodic or not? And in fact, the border for onset of quantum chaos is not delta n, but it's much larger. It only drops linearly with the number of qubits, and I will show some examples and we'll explain why it is so. In fact, the answer goes to the papers of Wigner, who in 1951-57 started to develop random matrix theory with the aim to describe many body systems like nuclei, which are many body systems and where density of states with excitation energy grows exponentially. But the theory was so successful, so that it was given so universal answers that very soon people forgot what are the conditions for its applicability. Usually they were saying until maybe 3 or 5 years ago in nuclear physics that since density grows exponentially, then very quickly you will mix these levels by any small interaction. In fact, it's not so quick. And there were some studies which show that what is the problem? That random matrices are full matrices, but in reality you have two-body interactions. Therefore, even if for many body systems the size of the matrix is exponentially larger, the number of non-zero matrix element coming from two-body interaction is so you have very small amount of non-zero matrix element which grows only like square of the number of particles. And it was shown first in this paper. So French one by Higgs Lorentz that if interaction is very strong, you will have a set of random matrices, but the border, in fact, the estimate for the border when the chaos sets in was given by Aberg in 1990, who also came from the nuclear physics community, and he gave this estimate saying that critical interaction should be comparable with the spacing between directly coupled states. So you should count only states which are coupled by direct interaction and not those which not the spacing between levels which drops exponentially. And this border was confirmed, the Aberg criterion was confirmed in more recent studies. You can consider 3 particles and show that in fact the onset of chaos happens when interaction is comparable with spacing between 2 particle levels, which is much larger than the spacing between 3 or 4 particle levels. Or you can consider more popular model which became people started to study recently. It's you take unperturbed orbitals, M orbitals, and then with some randomly distributed levels with typical spacing delta, you place fermions on these orbitals, and you introduce two-body matrix element coupling between this this two-body interaction between fermions, and estimate what will be the chaos border, and this can be applied for quantum dots. And in fact, the border here, it was checked that the border is given by this criterion proposed by Aberg. And for example, for quantum, this fermionic system, the energy, starting excitation energy, starting from which you have ergodicity in the system, so grows like delta multiplied by delta divided by interaction matrix element in power 2/3. And the typical temperature should be larger than this value to have ergodicity, internal ergodicity or internal thermalization. And I think there will be other talks related to that by maybe by Felix Israelev, maybe by Giulio Casati. This is the border above which there is onset of quantum ergodicity. And it was confirmed in numerical simulations. Maybe I will not show this numerical results which confirms this border. I'll simply show the list of people from Novosibirsk for some reason who became involved, interested in this question, which are quite many, and some of them are here. So what is the example? Let's turn to quantum computer. This is the model we choose with Bertrand Jadot. So you take sigma z, so you have a square lattice, and you have gamma I, which is your unperturbed Hamiltonian, and all gamma I's, they fluctuate near the one qubit spacing delta with amplitude small delta. Delta zero is one qubit spacing, and small delta is the amplitude of fluctuations. And then you switch on interaction between qubits by sigma I x sigma j x with some random couplings, nearby couplings j e j. And well, you may study when you will have transition from Poissonian distribution, which corresponds to random matrix, to integrable system, to Wigner-Dyson distribution, which corresponds to this chaotic states and quantum ergodicity. Some example for 12 qubits, when interaction is small, then you are close to Poissonian distribution in this system, case of 12 qubits, and well, small j divided by delta zero, and then you increase and above some critical value, you have a distribution which follows Fermi-Dirac, Fermi-Dyson statistics for, of random matrices. So there is this transition, and well, you can study how it depends on the number of qubits, and in fact, this Aberg criterion applied here gives you the border which drops only linear with the number of qubits, because delta C, the spacing between directly coupled states, is delta. This is the energy change when you invert two qubits, and the number of such transitions is order of n proportional to the number of qubits. So this is your delta C, and this is the border. And what we found is that above the border you have ergodic eigenstates and appearance of Wigner-Dyson statistics, and also your quantum entropy, suppose, becomes also very large. So quantum entropy, you can take exact eigenstates in the presence of residual coupling between qubits, project on the ideal multi-qubit states. This gives you probability, and you take a logarithm of this probability multiplied by this probability, and this is your quantum entropy, and you can introduce the border if SQ is equal to 1, then you mix two multi-qubit levels, and this border also drops like 1 over number of qubits. So let me show example. This example of two eigenstates for small interqubit coupling. This is unperturbed energy of a Hamiltonian related to gamma I. And this is probability, projecting probability. You see that everything you have almost delta peak. So idealized multi-qubit states are really close to real eigenstates in the presence of interaction between qubits. But if you increase the interaction above critical value, then there is a bright Wigner-Witz which appears in which exponentially many levels are mixed. So entropy becomes rather large above this border. And this border is drops only like one over number of qubits, being much larger than the spacing between levels. And this color image of the quantum computer melting induced by interaction between qubits. So on the horizontal line, you have energy of your quantum computer. It's the case with 12 qubits. On the vertical line, you increase the coupling between qubits. And the color represents the entropy of eigenstate in the interval between 0 and 11. So red is very high entropy of your eigenstate. So it's constructed from many, many non-interacting eigenstates. And you see that blue is 0. And you see that for small couplings, you are in the blue regime. So idealized eigenstates are close to real eigenstate, while above some critical J value, then you have melting and your quantum computer hardware, and many eigenstates become idealized eigenstates become mixed by interaction. But still, I stress that this border drops only inversely proportional to the number of qubits, which is rather positive result for quantum computer. Okay, I see. Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Of course, this is the question about the static properties of quantum computer. Well, you may say that even in some cases, the distribution of occupation number follows Fermi-Dirac distribution in this case, which represents really the ergodicity of quantum dynamics. This example maybe Zati will discuss better. This is the case with 24 qubits, and you have J less than J critical, then your occupation number, then they are fluctuating randomly. So they are rather far from Fermi-Dirac distribution, which is given by this smooth black line, corresponding to given energy of your eigenstate. But if, and this is fifth excited state, but if you increase residual coupling, then all this distribution becomes close to Fermi-Dirac distribution in this system. And really, you reproduce not only result of level spacing statistics, but more important distributions appears. And in a sense, you may say that the system becomes really chaotic. So above chaos border, and it's for quantum computer to operate, it's better to be below this quantum chaos border. But in spite of this, that we have got some understanding of the quantum hardware, static properties, it's important to understand what happens with operating the gates, and this is the other direction of our research in Toulouse. And let me give some example we studied.
Yeah. One simple question about this thing. It's an obvious question. I imagine thermalization like this, like there's some system in some state, there's some coupling which you don't know about, and then it thermalizes. But you would never do a computation that way, right? You would not wait until your unknown couplings have destroyed and thermalized and so on.
Yeah, you are right, you are completely right. There is a time scale to establish ergodicity. Like it was for rough billiards, there is a time scale, the Schneeleman ergodicity, it takes some time to establish. You should diffuse through the energy surface. And here there is another time scale which is related to the spread width. It's inverse spread width, which is J matrix, J squared divided by delta. So this is the time scale to K chaos to appear, to manifest itself, and of course you should work. This is a dangerous time scale. If you work with your quantum computer on a, it's like external decoherence time scale in a sense. So if you are, this example of entropy grows with time in the chaotic regime, so you see that it takes some time to develop to grow entropy, but after that time you mix exponentially many states, and this time is finite. So it's well, some small power of number of qubits. So if your computer will operate below, then it's fine, you will be able to apply maybe error correcting codes, but there's some general question in our opinion about error correcting codes, because here the chaos is some deterministic chaos, so it's not like all errors in each qubit are independent. They are correlated, so it's not quite clear if present error correcting codes will be really applicable for the seeds. Or like in the case, if you have very good codes, like Carla was interested in, then you will be able even to suppress completely this chaos. This will not matter for you. But in reality, so one should estimate what is more preferable. We would say that it's preferable to work below quantum chaos border, but other way around can be to work in the chaos regime, but with error correcting code to suppress relatively quickly the effects of chaos. So, and let's, yeah, indeed. Yeah, but thermalization for me, yeah, maybe.
I didn't hear my question.
Yeah.
Let's say somehow if you don't have to argue with it again, what you say, you suggest these eigenspaces, which are completely irrelevant of quantum computing, they are initial state and manipulated and so forth. I try to just now extract the positive message from what you said so far. And I guess what you told us was that if you have a certain error in your coupling, which you don't know, then it would, of course, also lead to some kind of defacing. And perhaps your analysis sheds some light on the question, how long is this defacing time,
yeah,
given a certain error in the coupling, given a certain number, yeah, of qubits. Now, the question is, do you get anything which you didn't expect on simple arguments? Does this kind of comparison with chaos or so add anything to our understanding here? I mean,
first difference, I would say, that this happens in completely closed system. And I showed that Fermi Dirac or some statistical distribution appear.
Yeah.
No, it play a role because this means ergodicity of eigenstate. So this ergodicity will appear after the chaotic time scale. Yeah, you prepare initial state, but that's what I'm showing you. This is the entropy, so initial state becomes to disintegrate over exponentially many states after certain time. And this is the danger of quantum computation. Our point is that you are right in the sense that it's maybe similar to external decoherence effects in some sense. But our point is that if you are below some quantum chaos border, these effects are killed. You don't have this let's say quasi-decoherence effects from this couplings. And this certain border, which is chaos border for appearance of ergodicity in this closed system.
Probably.
And this border is relatively high, it's much higher than the spacing between
but
levels.
Listen to you, and I would say, okay, try to work with a very weak coupling of qubits, then probably this, you are below this border of quantum chaos.
Yeah.
But really this is not good, because then your qubit interactions would take
No, this is some residual couplings. Then I can, this is the static properties of my hardware. After that, I will add the gates, which will switch on, switch off interaction, which can be rather large. But I wanted in this part to understand the static properties of my computer. You see? Then other question is operating the gates. You are right completely that it's the most important question. But if you are underground, if your hardware is chaotic and chaos is established after some time, this will affect the gates. And we have examples where this time scale induced by internal chaos is even shorter than the time scale appearing due to random noise in the gates. And there will be some maybe results presented by Benenti and Kazati. What we obtain, so.
What you are saying, why do you say that working below some very slow?
Well, I mean, probably you want definitely to have a fairly strong two-bit coupling, otherwise
I am speaking about residual couplings, some static couplings. Yeah, you are right that to operate I am obliged to switch on, but also switch off. It's some dynamical process, which is not static couplings. Here I consider the point. No, if I am below quantum chaos border, then I showed that my eigenstates of ideal computer are rather close to eigenstates of realistic computer. While if I am above, I mix exponentially many of them. Yeah, but one scene is a change of phase, other scene is to mix exponentially many states. That's rather different stuff. Okay, let me move to other part of my talk. So the question is if it's possible to quantum computers to simulate classical chaos. And why, what are the question? Because as I showed before, the classical chaos is characterized by exponentially instability of motion, while quantum dynamics is stable. So if you succeed to simulate chaotic dynamics by a quantum computer, then it looks like, on the first glance, maybe like some paradox. So what is the example we choose? We studied. So this is the Arnold CAT map, and we want to show that it can be simulated by a quantum computer. And in this case, we called it Arnold Schrödinger CAT because underlined is the Schrödinger equation, not the Newtonian equations of motion. So this is the map you have. And in fact, you can start we showed algorithm, which is in fact involves the part of additions which we used for Shor algorithm, and we are not maybe the accent here is not that the algorithm by itself is so new, but that it's applied to a new physical problem. So then we need three registers, and if I have NQ, is one register is used to describe the position x in the phase space, the second register is used to deploy to describe the positions in Y, and the third register, which contains NQ minus one qubits, is used as a workspace. And this algorithm is then your initial wave function can be coded in this eigenstate. And for example, the CAT image or something like that with many points, initial points. And then to operate, by operating the gates, you may show that you need approximately by 8 NQ Toffoli gates and 8 NQ control node gates to apply. And after that, you, due to quantum parallelism, you will perform iteration for all the points inside your initial distribution. And this the results we were using for module arithmetic additions from the paper of Eckert and others. You use NOT gates, control NOT gates, and also Toffoli gates. The gates we apply, and you follow the algorithms they were proposing in the paper to make additions, and it takes about 16 NQ quantum gates to perform one iteration of a CAT map. And classically, it will take exponentially many iterations because you have exponentially many orbits. And the question here, and you may show that it's one-to-one correspondence, so your discretized CAT is simulated exactly. And this is the question you can ask, what happens with errors in this case? So classical errors grow exponentially with time because your dynamics is exponentially unstable. The question is about quantum errors. And this is the example. Your initial image is the CAT smile. Left is classical. Right is quantum, and it's on the grid of 128 by 128, and in total for quantum simulation about 20 qubits we used. So you take 10 iterations, and here on the left you make the minimal classical error, which is the change in the last bit position for each your trajectory, and then you continue 10 iterations forward, so you should return, and you not return due to exponential instability. And in quantum case, in each gate you make unitary rotations with accuracy about 1% uncertainty, which is changes randomly from one gate to other gate, and you see that the image returns back. And if you continue for 400 iterations, of course classical does not return, and the quantum return back. Even if you slightly lose the probability, and yellow means.
What do you do with that final quantum state once you die?
Sorry?
What do you do with that final quantum state once you die? You can only read out one quantum.
Yeah. The question is how you will observe. It's true that if I will measure, then I will get one point. But I can make a quantum Fourier transform and extract the harmonics of my distribution in the phase space, which will be very irregular. The harmonics, in fact, will be very high harmonics, because chaos leads to mixing in the phase space, which goes to exponentially small scales. To reach the scales, such scales, I will need in classical simulations to have exponentially high resolution and many, many orbits. While by quantum... Why? No, why? I apply a quantum Fourier transform, and this gives me harmonics, and I measure harmonics, and the maximum, the most pronounced harmonic will be measured.
But if you take classical,
yeah, I am coming. So I can do. Let's me. Yeah, maybe. Sure. I can do not, so the left was a classical discretized map with the same discretization. I can take a real Pentium and turn the orbits with accuracy 10 minus 12. Then, so here I have million orbits. I cannot run all the orbits of Pentium 10 to the 16, but I take million of them. So in the middle, they homogeneously distributed, and the color represents the, I measure all the average probability inside this cell, 100, about 10,000 cells, 2 to the 14 cells I have inside, and I take the average inside, about 100 points in each cell. So, and after 10 iterations, then 10 minus 12 is sufficient, still high precision to return back, but after, okay, maybe after 100 even, this will not return. So, this errors, so Pentium errors, on the level 10 minus 12 will destroy reversibility, while quantum errors will not.
I have a different, you know what, I said this before, but I think in the quantum there is a discrete map on a discrete vector. And so if you compare a classical discrete map on the same exercise,
Yeah, of course, as I said at the beginning, that the map, quantum map, exactly reproduces the discretized classical map. So it's one-to-one if you don't have errors. The question is simply how errors affect the dynamics in both cases. If I do the same error in the quantum dynamics, then I simply reproduce the drop of the fidelity, which becomes exponentially. This example, when I do classical errors, and my fidelity starts to drop exponentially, and I do the same classical error, but plus a small quantum error of this 1%, and then the quantum fidelity follows the classical one and also drops exponentially. But the question is, each computer has its own errors. The minimal error you can do for the classical computer is to change the last shift, or you do any error. And then if you do any errors, then you can discretize your map in such a way that it will be symplectic and time reversible. That's true, but the question is, Okay, you can say what is the effect of minimal error, and the minimal error in the classical case, the last bit, while in quantum errors, it's other type of errors. So the idea was to compare the effects of errors which have different nature, and we see that quantum classical errors grow exponentially also for quantum computer. But quantum computer may have other type. Its own quantum errors, natural errors, drops only polynomially with time. You see they drop slowly with time. This is the fidelity. While the drop, one change, the minimal error, classical error leads to a sharp drop of fidelity. So that's the reason, because classical error invert one bit, maybe the last bit. But from the quantum viewpoint, it's a large error. And the scaling of these errors is shown on this graph. So the quantum errors grows, the time scale for quantum errors is inversely proportional to epsilon squared divided by number of qubits, and this is the numerical data in the line. And the classical errors, they are proportional to logarithm of 1 over epsilon, where epsilon is your classical precision of your classical error, and these points are much below than quantum errors on this graph. So, and at the end, let me show maybe some data which are also related to this CAT map, but simply you look on them slightly from another viewpoint, from the viewpoint of an old dispute between Boltzmann and Lock-Schmidt about time reversibility, where legend tells that once Lock-Schmidt asked Boltzmann what happens with his statistical theory, if he will invert all velocities, and Boltzmann said, then go and do that. If you invert, then all equations are inversible, so you should return back, while in reality we think that we will not return back. So I showed example with the standard map, and indeed a small inversion destroy reversibility. And then can we do invert the statistical loss? And this is the example. You take a similar CAT map, but you take it on a cylinder of length L equal 8, so then on this you have 8 cells on which then diffusion starts to go, and this example of this quantum computing turning the time arrow for this CAT map on a long torus with 8 cells, then diffusion starts to go, and then after 35 kicks you invert everything, and this is example of Pentium 3 when at the moment of inversion you make an error 10-4, 10-8, so you start to return back, but then due to errors you continue to diffuse, while quantum computer with error 10-2 return to initial, close to initial distribution for the value of the second moment. And I will finish with this image of demon for Pentium 3 and Quantum 1, where Pentium 3 you make inversion with for initial image after 35 iterations, this is your image, and you make error 10-8, then after 35 you don't return, while this quantum computer which makes time inversion and works always with the error 10-2 in all gates rotation, and this error is done for each gate. It can the initial image can be coded in the thermodynamical distribution here with exponentially many states, and then you can recover initial image if the gates work with finite accuracy. And so you saw that this example shows that in fact quantum computers based on quantum mechanics can simulate classical chaos, and with rather good accuracy. And I will finish by this small addition to this old phrase that God doesn't play dice, he simply can control nodes them. So he can simulate the chaos and he can do what he wants. Thank you for your attention. No, I choose the natural errors for different. In the classical case, I say I have my computer with a number of bits, and I change the last bit, the minimal error I can do, and this error propagates exponentially. Now I say there is my quantum computer which works with these bits, and what is the natural error for this quantum computer? The natural error that it operates with gates, and gates will not rotate by pi over 2 or pi, they will have small uncertainty in the rotation angle. And that was the uncertainty in this Gates rotation we introduced, and we show that these errors do not propagate exponentially.
So you say you give
it a phase factor? Yeah, on each gate, yeah. Classically, I was doing error only at the moment of inversion.
So epsilon
is the error of gates? Yeah, it's your unitary rotation in the control node, and then you have unitary matrix, and you say, okay, let's turn this matrix. For each gate, you have about 16 NQ gates to make a one map iteration, and in each gate, you make this error. So you make a much more, formally you make a error each step, so you will have 16 NQ errors done, while classically you do error only at the moment of inversion. So, of course, I do much more errors in the quantum case. But these are other types of errors. They are different from classical errors. These errors do not propagate exponentially, contrary to the classical. Well, if I will make error the same like in classical, because I said that ideal qubits exactly, quantum computer exactly simulate the classical map, then of course this error will propagate also in the quantum computer.
I still didn't quite understand your answer to my big question, because it's just the same question. Are these two models comparable? Because what you're doing simply in classical quantum mechanically is a syntactic map. It's a syntactic linearization of your map. So it's a linear map here.
No, okay, let me make one point. In fact, the map is nonlinear in some sense, because chaos appears only in nonlinear systems. So I can say this case is a bit simplified, but I can write, for example, we wrote...
If you simulate the same syntactic, the same map classically, yeah. It's just a linear map.
And no, no, Rudiger, I'm against the point that you insist that it's linear map because it's a bit misleading. Chaos appears only in nonlinear systems. And maybe I didn't stress this point, but your impression when you look on the map, it's linear. But
chaos appears in your quantum map?
It appears the same. If I will take two errors, two orbits, let's take two orbits, because I simulate exactly the... By quantum computer, I simulate exactly the classical map. I will have exponential divergence of trajectory.
Up to
some point, of course. Of course, I cannot simulate continuous system. So if you will say mathematically, you can be not convinced. You say mathematically, Kolmogorov-Sinai entropy, it's limit of time going to infinity and all that. But okay, in real life, you will not never work with that. You reproduce chaos. You are right from the formal mathematical definition of chaos. Lyapunov exponent is something which is to time going to infinity. But okay, in real life we are working with systems which have finite number of digits. And in fact, quantum computer will have much more digits compared to all other computers.
So it seems to me that you just showed the model of quantum chaos on a classical computer.
No, classical chaos on a quantum computer.
Right, sorry.
Yeah.
But you can also model classical chaos on a classical computer.
Yeah.
And it will grow the same size because of the single place thing that Carl was talking about.
because I can't, when I Fourier transform, it's a quantum Fourier.
No. No,
no.
Let's tell me the following thing. Okay, this is question how you will measure. But the wave function really iterates all this exponential number of classical orbits. It's you due to quantum parallelism, you really did this. The other question, how you will extract? This is a question of measurement because you cannot extract how you will extract all this exponential information, but this is a question always present for quantum computers.
I don't see how you can say all of the branches in the wavefunction really
have. No, it's really this distribution is really contained with exponentially many points in the wave function. So I really did iteration for exponentially many points. I cannot extract all this exponential information, but some elements I can extract. For example, it's clear that moments of these two distributions are rather different, left and right.
And it's been recently discussed this question whether all these computations really happen simultaneously very well. You may draw attention to this.
I think that once the word really has appeared five times in the discussion section, it's time to adjourn. Let's thank Dima again.